141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Champions League qualification action. Celtic welcome Lask in the first leg of their playoff tie to the East End of Glasgow. Rangers sign Kostas Nedeljkovic, a right back on loan from Aston Villa. They play Jablonec tomorrow, and Hearts, Hibs and Motherwell all join in their qualification action as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Tony Watt. And speaking of Motherwell, it's the Stenhouse Muir manager, Marvin Bartley. Hi Marvin, well done Marvin. Get it out of the way Marvin.
Thanks,
and then
mate.
We'll move on.
There's only one place to start, isn't
really matters.
There's only one place. I couldn't believe you were at the game and you didn't even give me a message after. That was really, really disappointing. And then I sent you
were the last person I wanted to speak to.
I would have came over and found you, by the way. You are so lucky I didn't know you were there. And then I sent you a picture and you refused to open it and just put a notification on Instagram.
Nah.
To be fair, some of your Instagram stuff was absolutely brilliant. Did you enjoy the game though? That's the most important
hated
thing.
Hated it. I don't like you, your team, your fans, your pitch, and else. Thought the winning goal was a handball, shouldn't have stood. I think the pitch is rubbish. I think you're
Can
rubbish.
Can we speak about the handball, by the way? Just really, really quickly.
You should be kicked out of the tournament.
It wasn't a handball, was it?
It was. If it was a big game, there would be
No.
Proof the way it works in this footballing part of the world. Nobody cares when it's Motherwell on the wrong end of a bad decision. If that had been Celtic or Rangers and that handball had led directly to the goal, these phone lines would have been red.
I think your player handballed it.
I see, you would say that.
But you know what? I actually asked Ewan. I asked the player, Tony. I said, did you handball it?
Oh, let me guess. Did he say no?
No, but I would have been delighted if he said yes, because that made it even sweeter. And he said, I actually didn't handball it.
Controls it with his arm.
The amount of pictures that I've seen with the AI and everything else, and then you lot saying we played our
academy.
People
in Motherwell don't use AI.
And all that sort of stuff. We had more young boys than you lot. But listen, it was a great game, and you're unlucky to have not gone through. And your manager, by the way, is a brilliant guy. Brilliant.
Oh, right,
genuinely, after the game.
You've now answered one of my questions, because later on I was genuinely, to go semi-serious, was wondering if you felt sort of disrespected or anything, that they had made so many changes, or that you were taken lightly, nothing like that?
No, not at all. When we did see the obviously starting lineup, we went more aggressive in the press, because it's always difficult when your players coming into the team. Probably with a little bit of nerves for them, because I knew they needed to go through, and also if they did well, they had a potential of playing on the Thursday. But no, we didn't. And listen, at half time, I think it was Lowry and Longello both came on, didn't they, onto the pitch as well. But no, listen, when we saw Saeed starting, we were like, oh no, here we go. We definitely thought that, because when we spoke about the team on the Thursday, we were like, he's not going to play. They're going to protect him, and then he started, and then that wasn't great for us. But no, I didn't feel so. Listen, he had to make the changes that he made, and as I said, everyone keeps speaking about young players, and we had, I think, seven boys under the age of 23. So,
I did think afterwards that probably once I'd calmed down, I would think that I'd be pleased for you, because if you're going to go, it might as well be somebody that you know, somebody that you like. But then I remember I don't actually like you that much, and so I'm not pleased for you.
By the way, last Wednesday we were talking about that, and he's like, oh no, we were talking about saying, I hope Stenny don't put us out of the weekend.
But you know what though, I did sort of hint at it a couple of times, but I'm glad I didn't go overboard in the lead up, because I took a sneaky picture, right? You don't know this. I took a sneaky picture of you skulking out of Fir Park last Thursday night at the end of the Helsinki game.
On the Thursday.
And I was going to post it and say, wouldn't like to be the next manager to come up against this Motherwell team. And I thought, no, don't, just in case it comes back to haunt you. The other thing you did that annoyed me, I felt, you've got me started already. I felt like the second half was actually delayed in kicking off because you took so long to walk across the pitch.
Well, I'm 105 kg, so what are you trying to say? That I can't jog?
I videoed you walking the full
105 kg of absolute muscle.
I can't run anymore. So sometimes you have to slow things down to give your team
a chance.
Was that
gamesmanship?
I'm not just trying to get across the pitch, and then it went to extra time anyway, and you lot should have really kicked on at that point, but I thought our boys did well.
By the way, I don't think that's a disrespectful thing, pointing the five youth players, because he has been starting the boy Mikey Booth, and
Ollie White played a lot of European action.
Congratulations, mate.
History making as well. First time in the quarterfinals in over 50 years.
Brilliant. First time we're at the league phase, that obviously since it's been that way, which is really, really good. And like you said, it's the first time in the quarterfinals. And then, we're playing on a Friday night. Only part-time team left in the competition, and we've been stuck on a Friday night. Good on you.
0141 951 1025. Anyone out there want to speak to Marvin about that game at the weekend? Nah, didn't think so. But if you do want to speak about the big Champions League game tonight, Celtic fans, let's hear from you right now. I'd imagine you're on your way to the game. Brutal conditions for a game of football, my goodness. But the stakes are very, very high. Every year these playoff games come around, we know that the 40 million is on the line. The prestige of playing in the Champions League, there is always debates about whether Celtic are ready, whether the squad's prepared, whether recruitment means it's undercooked. How are you feeling tonight, Celtic fans? Because there has been a bit of a feel-good factor domestically. You've added a bit of star quality and spent money at the top end of the pitch. So is that going to be enough? Or are there still areas elsewhere in the team that you're fearing are a bit short tonight? Pick up the phone. Even if you're sitting at home to watch it in the comfort of your living room, do give us a shout. But particularly, maybe you're on the way, in the car, on the bus or whatever, give us a sense of that big match feeling, because we're stuck in here. So let us know all your thoughts ahead of that one on 0141 951 1025. It's a massive midweek already. Then let's preview tomorrow with you Rangers fans. What do you make of your new right back, Kosta Nedeljkovic, a right back, Serbian 20 year old, from Aston Villa on loan, an obligation to buy if he hits a certain number of appearances? What do you make of that one? Where does that leave that department? Because that's Dujon Sterling was already there, Ross McCrory's been brought in, now this guy. How do you see that all shaping up? And then Derek McInnes with some very interesting things to say today. Says it's a non-issue to worry about Lauren Shankland being the captain and not necessarily starting the game. He also backed him to certainly come good and score goals. Do you share that confidence? 0141 951 1025. Motherwell fans, we don't need to talk about Stenhouse. This the Diddy Cup. We're focused on the big games, the Europa Conference League playoff tomorrow night. Give us all your thoughts there. Same Hearts fans, Hibs fans, everyone involved tomorrow. So come on, get involved on the usual number. And whilst you get your calls in, let's go to a rainy Celtic Park and check in with Andrew McLean.
Oh yes, the rain is hammering down here at Celtic Park. It's a huge night for Celtic though. Can Celtic break that Champions League qualification hoodoo that's been haunting them for a good few years now? Their last three appearances in the competition have all come from qualifying automatically. The last five times they've had to negotiate the qualifiers, they've failed to progress, and none were more concerning, you'd say, than last year against Qairat Almaty. Brendan Rodgers in charge at the time, when they were knocked out on penalties after two goalless draws across the two legs. Fans complaining that not enough had been done in the transfer market to help best equip themselves for the tie. And I think it's fair to say that for a good while there were probably the same worries that it could happen again this year. But since then, four big signings, over £30 million spent. They've definitely done more this time round, but some fans I think will still be unhappy that Arne Engels was allowed to leave over the weekend and hasn't been able to be replaced in time for this tie. With Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain suspended, Rio Hitati out of favour, it could be new boy Mika Bauer who comes straight into that midfield three. You'd expect other new additions, Kasper Hoog, Camilo Duran, to start in the front three, but could they be joined in that front three by Haseem Hassan? Martin O'Neill was saying that he's maybe not had the same level of football, the same, you know, level of training as the other players, so he may not be ready to start this game, but you never know, he could be thrown straight into things. Of course, no Alistair Johnson either. Is it going to be Kobe Donovan that starts at right back? There's obviously Anthony Ralston there too. There was a caller, was it last night, the other night, certainly saying that Rio Hitati might start at right back, which seems very unlikely, but plenty of decisions for Martin O'Neill to make, and I'll let you know who he's chosen in around 45 minutes time.
And until then, we can all speculate about it. You can tell us who you think it should or shouldn't be. Any left field shouts like the one Andrew alluded to there, get all your thoughts in pre-match. 0141 951 1025. A dreadful night out there to be heading to a football game, but big stakes indeed. Benny is first up. Hi Benny.
Good evening guys, how are you doing?
Not bad at all. What are you thinking tonight then?
Well, I think it's really maybe an idiot to predict us tonight, so I think it'll be seen on as well.
Especially a prediction as bold as that, Benny. What gives you the confidence?
It's a hard game. Poor defence. Yeah, we've only lost one goal domestically in the three games, but I still think they look shaky. Kamara could have scored a few. Dundee United could have scored a few. But I think there might be one shot if we let Engels go and not replace them. I think Bauer will start in there because I don't think Martin rates Hitati too much. So he never get near the team at the end of the season and all this season so far. So I think the three in the midfield will be McGregor, Negrin, and I think it'll be Bauer. But the problem is, you've no subs there in there. Luke McCown, that's probably about it. But I think we'll sneak through over the two legs. I think we'll get there this time. Fingers crossed.
So you're, if you're 3-0 tonight, you're in for a tough week next week if you're just going to sneak through then.
It'll be a hard game next year, it'll be a hard game tonight. I feel like I'd say a big physical team, yeah. So...
It feels we'll like Benny's kind of perfectly summed up the general feeling, Tony, where Celtic do feel they're well equipped in the forward areas, and as good as the domestic results have been, maybe they are giving up the type of chances that, that European teams could take advantage of. How would you sum up your thoughts?
I think there's a little bit of just a little bit of creeping negativity from last year, where when one player was missing, whether it was Carter Vickers or Johnston, or Engels, or Maida, whatever game it was, or if Maida didn't play his top level, Celtic dropped a lot. And I feel that the replacement, and this is no slight on Donovan, for Alistair Johnston, the level is a lot lower. And in the Champions League, the last 5 years, is it Celtic have went out?
The last five times they've played in the playoff.
Playoff.
Yeah.
So my issue is probably with them that Celtic need to be full strength to go ahead. And the game at home, because ultimately for the last 20 years, I know it's got a wee bit better for Celtic and Rangers the last couple of years, away from home hasn't been good, especially in the Champions League. At home, Celtic and Rangers do really well. So tonight is even bigger than next week for me, because they need to win tonight.
Yeah, I think there'll be a nervousness from the players as well. Obviously, we all know what happened last year. And as Tony said there, you know, missing Alistair Johnson, who's a huge player for them, it's who comes in replacement. I actually think Ralston will play. I just think with the experience...
Was he back on the bench now at the weekend, remind me?
I'm not actually sure.
I think he's been fit. I think he just came back a little bit later.
Okay.
I just think with the experience that he does have, you know, I agree with Benny, it's going to be a difficult game. There's no doubt about it. I think the first 15 minutes will tell us an awful lot in terms of how Celtic are going to be in this game. I think if they come out and they settle straight away, then absolutely fantastic. They should go on to win the game. But I think if they look shaky within those first 15 minutes, like I said, with probably the hangover of what happened last year, they understand the importance of the Champions League and qualifying, the finances that it does bring. And also, like you said there as well, without Engels in the centre of the park. But I do agree with Celtic letting him go, by the way, because I've been around players who've maybe got one eye on their next move, and you try and play him in the game and they're nowhere near the levels that they should be. Some players refuse to play because there's a big money move for them. So I agree with what Martin O'Neill's done there and said, right, if he wants to go now, we let him go and we just go forward with the players that want to be here.
Just on that, Ralston was nowhere to be seen even at the weekend. So that might be...
Yeah, if he's injured, then...
quite a stretch, perhaps. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. Benny... You say you think you're one short than Engels. Do you accept that that's just the way that it's fallen, or is there an annoyance there that Moore wasn't done to prepare to either get his replacement in or hang on to him or whatever?
Well, I agree there with what Marvin said. If he wants to go, don't let the door hit you in the backside and the way out. The end of the day. Ralston is fit. Ralston was just, if I remember right, Martin said at the weekend, you could have put someone in the bench at the weekend, that's why he wasn't on the bench. Mm-hmm. So I think he might start, because he's a kind of big, tough kind of boy, isn't he? And if they're a big, strong team. But, so I don't know. But yeah, I agree, Ralph. I think Ralston might start. But Engels, one day go, see you later, mate.
I think in an ideal world, if Hitati... Do you remember the pictures that came out when they won the league last year? He wasn't in the squad and he looked raging. I think in an ideal world, I heard a caller say last night, Hitati could have slotted into right-back. He's played left-back, but he's a right-footer. But... that wouldn't have weakened Celtic as much. And I'm not saying Colby Donovan's not a very good player, but if you're coming up against top Champions League players, Celtic should have had a replacement.
Is Rio Hitati's absence not been felt now more in midfield, just based on what we spoke about? Because if you're having to cope without... like compared to last season, and then into the start of this campaign, you're actually having to do without Engels and Hitati, really, if you know what I mean. Because I know he's there, but he's now not an option. Mm-hmm. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain suspended. So all of a sudden, you're chipping away at your options to handle the absence of Arne Engels.
Like Marv says, though, Engels wanted out. You'd probably see Chirmiti and Johnson's injuries and think, there's two moves potentially scuppered to bigger and better things in his head, whether that's true or not. And Hitati... last season showed some games Hitati looked brilliant. I think it was Ibrox in the Cup, looked amazing. The next week it looked as if he was doing Celtic a favour by getting out there. So you can't run with people like that going into Champions League. This isn't league. Celtic can get away with people maybe not being 100% in the league, which sounds disrespectful, but it's true, because how big some players are around them. In the Champions League, it's a different ballgame.
Thank you very much to Benny. A 3-0 prediction from Benny, nice and bold to kick us off. What about Paul from Falkirk. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad, still, guys.
Yeah, good, thanks. Are you as confident of a first leg victory as that previous caller was?
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying to your producer there, I think Celtic have still got enough in every department to go out there tonight and put on a show and get a convincing win. I think the new guys, they'll be massive. But as I was saying to your producer as well, I mean, you know, everything that goes through that middle of that park with McGregor, you know, yes, we've got areas we need to strengthen in, but we've got more than enough out there tonight and put on a convincing performance and get the 3 points that we need to take away next week.
I take it Bauer starts then, Paul, if we're talking about the other midfield options. There aren't loads.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly would not be surprised if Atati does start. Yeah, I think Bauer, you know, the glimpses we've seen over the weekend there, I think he could potentially be in there. Tedeschi, I would like to see coming on as a sub. You know, he's got this kind of impact when he does come on. He's not a starter for me. He's a great player, but I think Martin O'Neill will probably save him for the hour change and bring him on. But yeah, I think we need to be confident that we can not replicate what happened against Almaty last year. I think we're going to go out tonight and do what needs to be done convincingly.
Would you be so? Paul saying he wouldn't be surprised if Atati started.
I'd be surprised. I just think where he is at the moment, and it's not a quality thing or an ability thing, because over the years Celtic fans have seen more than enough from him. And you know, when, like Tony said, when he's on his game, he's an absolute game changer. He's unbelievable in there. But he just failed to hit those heights. You know, I think everyone was probably expecting him to leave the football club, and I'm surprised he's still there now. I would be really, really surprised for Martin O'Neill to throw him into such a big game today. Kind of out from the cold, but it's a huge call whoever he puts in there. You know, Bauer to come in there and play next to McGregor for the first time, you know, does he play Luke McCown in there and Negan goes back one, but then you're taking away from his strengths, which is obviously going forward and supporting the centre forward. I think that's probably the one that, you know, Martin O'Neill and his coaching staff would have to really, really think about. I think the right back one, you just listen, you come and you play Donovan or Rowson. As I said, if Rowson's fit to play, I would play him. But I think the centre of the park, getting that balance right in such a huge game, I just think that's a massive, massive call for them. I'm really interested to see who they go with.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it
would you go for then?
It wouldn't be the end of the world to say to McGowan, go and play 55, 60 minutes and then bring Bauer on, because he, like Marv said, he's not used to his midfield partners. He's not used to McGregor. He's not used to Negrin, who looks really good. Now, he's pushing up a lot more to get close to Ho, which means McGregor and the other probably need to sit, and I think McCown would probably understand that role more, especially if Martin O'Neill and Maloney spoke to him and said, look, free reign, it's Champions League. Sometimes you're going to need to sit in next to McGregor and let Negrin, Duran, whether it's Tonetke or Yang, and go up close.
Not Hassan yet, too early for that.
I think these players won't be 100%. You know what it's like when you move to a club and you settle in and you don't have time? It feels a lot harder than what it is. You kind of get your breath in front of the fans, how big a game is. I think coming on just relieves the pressure off them. You can maybe start one, but definitely not the two for me.
So, Paul, some Celtic fans will be scarred by a lot of these playoff disappointments, but you're pretty confident this is different. You think you're much better prepared this time?
Absolutely. I think you've just got to look at the feel-good factor around, you know, the first couple of opening games. There's something feels different to what it has the past couple of seasons, you know, when we're underprepared and everybody's moaning that we've not spent enough. And I feel like something different is kind of beckoning this season. But there's still areas we need to strengthen. And I just wanted to make a point as well about the young lad at right back, Colby. I mean, I think given a run of games, and I know he's nowhere near what he is at the moment, but I believe firmly a run of games and he could eclipse where AJ is. He's a solid defender, and I just think, you know, under the right management, O'Neill, the right coach, and with Sean and Fozzie, and that, I think he could go right to the top of his game. And I hope he gets the opportunity, because we keep going on the show about, you know, homegrown talent and all. Let's not go out and spend $5-6 million on a foreign boy and thing. I mean, let's nurture what we've got there, and he's definitely one for that, I would say.
Good man, thank you very much to Paul. That's two confident Celtic fans so far. How are the rest of you feeling? Anything else you want to discuss, we're here for you. We'll do it next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Marvin Bartley are here at 0141 951 1025. Get in touch, let them know what you're thinking, particularly ahead of the Celtic game tonight. We're building up to kick off. We won't be far away from finding out what the team is. And then once we get beyond that, of course, we preview tomorrow's games as well. There might be other things out there. The transfer window very much open. Who knows? Maybe you've still got lingering thoughts from the weekend. Hopefully not. Or the new Scotland manager, or any of the above. Get in touch, just like Daniel has from View Park. Hi, Daniel.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Ooh. Is that Marvin Bartley's phone ringing during live radio broadcast?
By the way, it's on Do Not Disturb as well. And this number, like, keeps calling me.
What would your Stenhouse Muir players think of that in discipline?
Probably be a fine.
Anyway, sorry, Daniel. Very rude of him.
That's typical Marvin.
Exactly.
first point quickly, I think I'll definitely be Boer. I'll start tonight, obviously, because he get the minutes at the weekend. But my main point is, everybody's going on about selling Engels early. But if you go back 12 months ago when we played Kairat, everybody was saying, why do we play Ida? Why do we play Yang? Why did we play Maida? Because these guys' heads were turned. They were wanting to leave. So Martin Engels came out and said Engels wanted to leave. So I don't see what the big problem is. He wanted to leave. Let him go.
I don't think anyone necessarily... I think both can be sort of accurate at once, can't they? I don't think anyone's necessarily saying they should have, you know, locked him up and kept him here, and it's a disgrace that he's left. But also, it just does leave you a bit short, and particularly his profile, Tony, as well. Because even I think Martin and Neil's alluded to this. Let's say Bauer is fully up to speed fitness wise, fully up to speed with the tactical instructions, fully up to speed with the relationships, which he's not, by the way. But if he was, he's still not the same profile, you know, as Engels anyway. And Martin and Neil saying they want to, you know, replace that with someone different.
Yeah, he did say that, and that's the thing for me. Engels wanted out. You could see it. I've seen on Twitter's the best thing ever, because people, all the private investigators, everything, and you can see when he's not playing or travelling in the plane, it just looked like his time was up. I think in January with the Nottingham Forest bid at 25 million, the scenario probably went like this. I want to go. No, give me 6 months, we'll let you go. And now the 6 months has came, they couldn't stand in his way. West Ham's a massive club. He's going to probably go and double his money. And next year, he'll be expected to be a Premiership player. Now, I think that's brilliant for him. For me, Celtic's a bigger prospect than West Ham in the Championship, but he wants to go. You cannot stand in his way, because like Marv said earlier, with Hatate and Engels, if somebody doesn't want to be at the club, don't force them. Don't make them be here, because they will not be 100% regardless of how much they try.
It's funny to see talking about last season. Maybe it's just because it shows you what the kind of fallout in the narrative can do for you. I was just checking the team earlier on. I remember in my head the Celtic team was worse than it actually is. So you look at that team against Almaty last year: Schmeichel, Johnston, Scales, Carter Vickers, Tierney, Hatate, McGregor, Forrest, Negrin, Ida and Maeda. I feel like my memory of that is that there was fringe players all over the place. And now, granted, maybe once you dip into the bench, but I mean, Engels came on.
They might have missed some big chances in that game. That was the problem, wasn't it? They weren't taking their chances, rather than
that was the home leg, and even the away leg. It was a pretty similar team, but maybe some of them were undercooked. I guess I don't know, but and I just feel like it was worse. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I feel like there's this kind of hangover, as if it was the under-18s that had to be shipped in and they lost. So you still have to get the best out of, you know, whatever's out there, just because Celtic are kind of, I mean, are they stronger on paper than that? In an attacking sense, it would be, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Maeda came off the back of a great season, though, so maybe he's a difference maker.
Yeah, but he wasn't at the start.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, no, listen, it's one of those games tonight that they just have to take care of business, like you said there, Gordon. There can be no excuses. You know, they understand the size of the task. I know a lot of people are speaking about it like it's going to be a foregone conclusion. I don't agree with that. But in terms of the players that are going to be put out there, Martin O'Neill and his coaching staff will make sure that they're ready to go. And listen, there can be no excuses. You know, the next two games are absolutely huge for them, because they need to make sure they get into the Champions League. like I said, it's just a big ask for whoever goes into that centre midfield and plays next to Callum McGregor. And there couldn't be a better person, I suppose, to guide them through it, whether it be Luke McCowan, you know, but however he goes in there and plays. Hatate, if he comes, and it'll be a, you know, real strange one if he does come into it. But listen, he's still within the building. So Martinell could have had a conversation with him to do so. I do agree, you know you're going to lose Engels, clearly. And obviously, you know, they would have tried to get somebody in to replace him, but Celtic have done that before, haven't they? Especially in January when they're rushing players in that then don't make the impact that they need them to make. So they've done the right thing in terms of, right, let's wait, let's see what we can do between now and, you know, hopefully qualifying for the Champions League. But yeah, this is a massive game for them tonight.
Confident, Daniel?
Yeah, quite confident. Yeah, I think we should. Probably 2-3 I think.
There we go. Might it need that? See, when you're going away in the second leg, I think it goes without saying, and this is not groundbreaking analysis, but you're looking for that sort of cushion.
Yeah.
You feel like Celtic are giving up more chances than they would like at the moment. I'm sure you'll have seen the school of thought that says if you give Lask the chances that Dundee United had, then they should be better, they should be more clinical.
Yeah, I do think that Celtic have, the first 10 minutes against Kilmarnock, I know they battered them, was it 5-1 or 4, whatever the result was. Kilmarnock had a lot of clear-cut chances in Celtic's box. Dundee United hit the post 2 or 3 times at the weekend, but I think in the Champions League it'll be a little bit more cagey. Celtic can afford to, and I'm not being disrespectful because I was a player on these teams. Celtic can afford to go gung-ho and attack teams, and even if they concede the first one, they fancy their Celtic go and score more. So I think in the Champions League they need to be a little bit more cautious. I think they need to be a little bit more set up behind the ball. And I do think Celtic will win tonight, but I do think mentally, with all the stuff going on, missing Johnson, I know we're making a big deal at Engels, Celtic probably need to take a lead into Austria next week.
They need their best performance of the season, don't they, tonight? Yeah. Definitely, I agree. I think they need to hit the highest heights that they've hit so far this season to make sure they do go through over these two legs, because listen, Lask aren't, they're no mugs. They really aren't. And some people might not have seen them or be aware of some of their players and the way that they play, but you know, Celtic need to be, like I said, at the best game of their season. If Celtic turn up and they're at their best, they go through over the two legs, there's no doubt about it. If they're slightly off that, you know, it could be a difficult and tricky couple of ties.
They're in, you know, in a good place as well. They're Austrian champions. They won a double, in fact, last year. They've got 3 wins out of 3 and scored 9 at the start of this season. So yeah, it's always hard to tell exactly because you don't know as much about the level of opposition, but they're in a good place. They'll come here full of confidence.
That's what I was going to say. Celtic should be beating this team. The way Celtic are, the way the structure of the club is, how big a club Celtic are, how much investment, like how much money they've made and how much they've invested into their squad. But I think this will be the real test of Celtic's board in terms of, there's a real feel-good factor now. I'm seeing everybody saying, get back in, spend money in the shops, do this, because there was not another penny thing going about where they weren't spending money until Celtic made signings and replaced Kyogo and Nicholas Kuhn, these players. However, now I think these two games will define whether Celtic are going to back the board or go against them again. And if they go through, I think a lot of credit needs to be given to Celtic's hierarchy, and Celtic should be going through.
Thank you very much to Daniel. What about Connor? Quite a lot of confidence out there, Connor. Are you amongst it?
Yeah, hi guys, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good.
I just think, I was speaking to the producer earlier, so I was just thinking maybe James Forrest. I know he's obviously the most decorated Celtic player in Celtic's history, but he just doesn't really get enough credit, I don't think. So I think he would maybe be best to start in midfield.
Oh, I'm not putting it to Tony Watt, honestly. James Forrest's biggest fan.
To start where?
He'll certainly get credit from him.
What position did he say?
Well, I think he just said in midfield, but meaning obviously in his normal... You mean out wide in his normal role, Connor, or are you actually meaning somebody else, sorry?
Just like, so it'd probably be like McGregor in the middle, Nigrin and Forrest. Ooh. And then Duran like down the wing.
That's a big shout. Look at you. You're seriously going to act as if that's
right,
an acceptable
I'm
suggestion.
I'm going to put all my cards on the table here. James Forrest, my favourite Celtic player.
We know.
Right. But there's an argument to be made that Duran's best positions through the middle and Ho's best positions through the middle, and Celtic are maybe lacking a centre mid. So if you went a 4-4-2, which Martin O'Neill
isn't going to stop.
Martin O'Neill knows back
Where's
in the day.
Where's this guy going?
Stop.
And you go McGregor and Benjamin Nigrin through the middle, James Forrest on the right, Tonetke or Yang off the left, And four, it would four, also give a little bit of cover for Colby Donovan.
Double up. No cover in the centre of the pitch.
That's the only thing, yeah.
That's a big problem, though.
Duran can come back and help if he wants. No, I think Negrin needs to play as close to Ho as possible. I'm only joking there. I think Negrin's looked like a star man because he's made a partnership with the centre forward, and James can come off the bench.
Yeah, James Frost can't play centre midfield. There is no chance that that's happening. It can't. It just can't.
It just can't.
No, it definitely can't.
As simple as that. Connor, are you... A lot of the excitement then, the conference, is this coming basically from the Duran and Casper Hu signings, the money that's been spent, the way they've started?
Yeah, obviously it plays a factor, but I just think James Forrest doesn't really get sort of enough praise. Is like, we know how good he is, he understands Scottish football, as I say, he's been at the club for ages, scores every near enough consecutive seasons, and I just think it's time he actually gets like sort of known.
James's uncle Connor on the phone.
Tony's brother.
See, when you've been at a club that long, I don't think James Forrest like doesn't get the praise he deserves. It's just, you know, he's been there, everybody knows how decorated he is. He's been rewarded by, you know, he's won player of the year and that sort of thing. And everybody knows, and we're always rhyming off the stats about how he's going to try and score again in consecutive seasons. It's just hard to keep up that level of praise. And by the way, he doesn't play anywhere near as often now, so why, you know, you're not going to come in for that praise.
I think I always say it, Marvel tell you. For instance, people at Hanlon, Stevenson, Dave Gray, even when they were at Hibs, they maybe weren't performing at their level as much week in, week out, but the respect they hold in the changing room stops the small discipline problems and helps people come in and they can take charge and people look up to them. So James Forrest probably doesn't get the appreciation for what he does at the club. He still comes on, gives a good shift, he looks sharp, he looks faster now than he's ever been. But I don't think James is expecting to start 46 games this season. I don't think he is. And I think that helps Celtic because they know that they can start him in some games they need him, bring him on, and you've still got a great guy in the building. I think he does get the credit now. I don't think he did for a while, but I think Cal McGregor's probably the one that doesn't get the credit at the moment for... Do you see after the Kilmarnock game, you'll like that? The one when Trusty and Ho were going to go over and celebrate, and he's saying, right, lads, it's yeah. two games. That's why these guys are so influential at Celtic.
When you, well, in fact, we can't be far away from getting the team news anyway. Even though this is Europe, it's a step up, it's bigger, better opposition, and everything that's at stake. Is they still going to try and persevere with just playing Duran out wide?
Yeah.
For now, I mean, everyone keeps talking about how it's not his natural position, but is it getting maybe a bit better over the last couple of games?
Yeah, listen, he'll get better when he gets used to the way that his teammates want to play. Obviously, he's playing, like you said, in a foreign position for him, or a position he doesn't, you know, prefers playing through the middle. But you have to persist with him. When you pay that sort of money, it's for a reason. And yes, if you can get two strikers through the middle at times, then he'll definitely go and do that. But I think he's looking better wide as the games do go on, and I fully expect him to play today. If you bring a player in for that amount of money, then you have a Champions League qualifier and you don't start them. You know, it doesn't really make much sense to me. So yeah, I think Martin O'Neill will go with him for sure. One thing I don't think he's going with is James Forrest centre midfield. There you go.
Suppose this is what, you know, Casper Hu, Camilo Duran, their pedigree part of it is the fact that they'd scored Champions League goals. So the hope will be that they can do that in this competition tonight.
Yeah, I like the fact that they've been brought in a little bit earlier as well. I think whether it's true or not, their teammates will fully believe that they're Champions League players because they've showed the standards already, plus they've done it in the past. Now, I like Duran on the wing. I think he reminds me like an almost like the Luis Diaz kind of type, where he's 100 miles an hour pressing, he's decent on the ball, he gets in good areas to score, and he just doesn't stop running. He's got the weekend, he gets in a great area and just basically slide tackles it in the goal. I think they've kind of fell onto a lucky one with him on the right wing, because Ho's link up play is brilliant and he kind of feeds off him, and I think it's working at the moment.
Thank you to Connor. Before we move on, how does this sound?
Clyde One
£650,000 into your bank account this Friday. That is what is up for grabs here. Text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 on your first text entry. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, and then somebody wins the lot. Every single penny. It might as well be you. Text yes to 61025 and good luck from us.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Marvin Bartley are here. It's a big night for Celtic in Champions League qualification. The playoff round has not been kind to Celtic in recent seasons. Is this the start of it turning into a more positive experience? The guys, the callers, you've all been debating the team lineup. Well, Andrew McLean is going to put you out your misery and tell us who exactly has been given the nod.
Three changes for Martin O'Neill from that win at the weekend. Scales, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Tonechty drop out. Kieran Tierney comes back in, as does Yang. And it's a first start for Micah Bauer, the 22-year-old German who only joined from Paderborn last week, made his debut off the bench against Dundee United at the weekend. He is straight into that midfield three for this Champions League playoff match. So Viljami Sinisalo in goal. It's Kobe Donovan who continues at right back. It's Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Kieran Tierney who make up the rest of the back four. Callum McGregor, Micah Bauer and Benjamin Negrin, the midfield three, with Yang and Camilla Duran either side of Casper Hu. The substitutes doing Scales, Balakwisha, McCowan, Tonechty, Osmond, Hassan, Kenny, Hatate, Murray, Forrest and Ralston.
After a few nights of Rio Hatate at right back and James Forrest at central midfield and Celtic going for a 4-4-2, and that was one of the pundits, by the way, it's all quite predictable in the end.
Yeah, like you said, Bauer coming in. Obviously, Martin O'Neill's got full faith in him to go and play. Really interested to see how he does. Like I said, having Callum McGregor next to him will be such a calming influence for him anyway. You know, playing at home at Celtic Park on a European night will be fantastic for him. The adrenaline will be really pumping. And listen, he's a player that's been brought in because he's got an awful lot of quality. So, yeah, he'll be ready for this game as well. He'd have probably wanted to start and step into it straight away. So he's been given the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I think the fact that Yang's starting and Duran's starting says a lot as well, because I think Celtic will be on the front foot. The energy the two of them possess in pressing is off the scale. I think Celtic didn't think they'd replace Maeda as easy, but Duran looks as if he's just as good at pressing. And I think that will help Bauer get in good positions, get high up the pitch, and yeah, let Celtic attack. And it looks like they're going for it, and hopefully they do. Hopefully they go and get the result.
Sinan is on the line. There's always a problem on nights like this. You phone in, you've got your suggestion for the team, and then the team's out before you get the chance to put it across. So what do you think now that you've heard it?
Hi Gordon, how you doing? I was actually just phoning to say I was thinking maybe a 3-5-2. It's something obviously I don't think worked well last season, but I think we've got the personnel to play it, and we just basically match them for the same lineup. But obviously that's been going out the water. I mean,
you're happy enough with what has been picked?
I think so, yeah. I think it was, I didn't see Hatate coming in. He's been out of the picture, so it's quite predictable with Breuer coming in. I think you keep a bit of consistency. A wee bit worried about Donovan and right back, but I suppose we'll find out in the next couple of hours how he fares.
Yeah, it is straight in, but I guess that's sometimes the way it has to be. If you're going to make, for Celtic standards, a big financial outlay in the transfer window, you might need to get pitched into a Champions League qualifier. It's just the way of the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you're at a club of that size, it's what could happen. So you're talking about Bauer going into the centre of the park and Donovan getting his opportunity at right back as well. You know, a player that they've got massive, massive hopes for. Obviously came through the youth system, and he's got an opportunity today as well, you know, with Tony Ralston on the bench. So I really do hope he does well. Obviously there's been a lot of talk of young players getting their opportunity, and I hope he does well when he takes it, and he can keep the shirt for as long as obviously Alistair Johnson is kind of on the sidelines. But yeah, listen, Celtic will be going into this game, and Callum McGregor will be telling the players, listen, we need to win. There's no doubt about it. We need to win this first leg and go across to Austria for the second one with a little bit of a cushion, and we take care of business over there. So I agree with Tony. I think they'll be on the front foot. I think they'll be full of energy. Like I said, that those first 15 minutes are going to be absolutely massive to see, you know, what kind of mood Celtic are in.
Yeah, totally agree. I think tonight is the biggest night in Europe for Celtic in a long time. I know we always say that, but this can change. This could put a massive gap between Celtic and Rangers in terms of financially. I think the £50 million, Celtic have done all their business, and I think they're still in a net profit. Is that correct?
In terms of, they will be when you had the Ingles one in there.
So they're looking just as strong. They've improved in areas. People are happy with all the players that have come in. And if they go and get an extra £50 million, Celtic will be set up to go stronger and stronger. And I think that's what Celtic and Rangers should be doing. They should be aiming to get profitable every year and getting stronger and stronger because of the size of the clubs.
Based on what you've seen so far this season, Seenan, is that the, you know, the confidence coming from those two new attackers, the way they've sort of hit the ground running?
I think so. I think they've settled in quite well. I think they've got the firepower. So I think really we need to just meet fire with fire against this team. I think I don't see our defence basically like defending and basically try to hold on to a league. I think this is like one of the games you just go for it. I think there'll be quite a few goals in this game tonight. I think we definitely obviously need to go with a decent lead going into the away leg. But I suppose we'll wait and see how the game fares.
We've seen, Celtic fans won't thank me for reminding them again of just how difficult some of the playoff ties have been, and we have seen even some big leads from the first leg, and then they can get eaten into. It really is just it's a nervy one, isn't it? Because you know everything that's on the line. It's not just the money, that's the bit we seem to focus on, but just the, you know, if you're a player, you've been in those situations, do you know the kind of the weight of what is round the corner? Does it weigh on you?
Well, you see the difference in Rangers dropping down to the Conference League. I know it's two levels below, but they'll be going to some places, that backwater countries, that they need to fly 10 hours to play a team that they can maybe 4-5-0, they can go and win or whatever, and there's no shirt to swap at the end. Whereas Celtic can go and play at at the Bernabeu, at Camp Nou, these countries that you want to go to. You don't want to be flying to Kazakhstan or Moldova or wherever where in the Conference League. You want to be playing in Spain, Italy, France, Germany, and playing against the best of the best. The memories that you have, I never played that many, but the memories I have are coming up against Pirlo. You're coming on Messi's, these kind of guys, they ones that will live with me forever. Whereas at Standard Liège, I played against Sevilla, Osijek, and another team in the Europa League group stage. It didn't matter as much, and I don't care what MD says. The Europa League's a massive step down for the Champions League.
What do you think Pirlo did with his Tony Watt shirt?
Genuinely, that's in the bin.
Washing the car?
I don't even think he would put it towards his car. Nah, I think the iconic thing is the hoops.
Yeah, I think it's a Celtic shirt.
I think when I was walking up the tunnel against Barcelona, I swapped with Pedro in the tunnel because he was waiting for a Celtic top because the hoops are so big. Obviously, Celtic's a big club. I think they were all wanting them, eh?
There you go. Thank you very much to Seenan on the line, the final caller before we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Another defeat for the Pundits last night. Tuesday Club is a disgrace. Tuesday Club has fallen apart. Alex Ray and Gordon Deal. Alex Ray lost on a as the crow flies distance question. He wasn't happy about it at all. Hopefully they're more straightforward tonight. 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley, the Stenhouse Muir manager, and Tony Watt are here. It's 01419511025. I've said on here before, actually, I like it when my two worlds collide. So one of my favourite football podcasts away from the kind of Scottish football madness is Football Cliches. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'm a bit of an addict, won't miss it. And you were on it.
Oh.
Or more accurately, the interview that you did after the game.
Yeah.
What was the opening question to you in your BBC radio interview?
Something about you must be delighted Marvin Bartley in the quarterfinals.
Marvin Bartley, League Cup quarterfinals. Yeah. How does that sound? And you handled it really well. You said, well, actually, it should be Stenhouse Muir, fair play to you, rather than making it all about you. But they've got a bit of a thing on that podcast where they kind of like take the mick, for want of a better expression, of when that type of question is asked, where you go, Tony Watt, beat the pundit champion. How does that sound? You know,
well,
that sort of thing.
Well, not lying, are we? So, beat the pundit summer champion.
So, just imagine, right? Imagine my anger and frustration when I'm trying my best to get over the Stenhouse Muir win against Motherwell, and I think I'll put my favourite football podcast on. It's got very little to do with Scottish football. Cosy, warm, reassuring sound of one of your favourite podcasts, and you pop up,
and there we were
talking about honestly nearly swerved off the M77.
Like, see that what's the show now that you made the meme from
Come Diamond?
Come Diamond. That's brilliant, by the way.
And I've seen that.
Ailey had never seen that.
You're kidding
me. I promise you, I had to Google
it. Amazing.
So good.
She had never seen that.
She had never seen. She didn't get it. So I don't understand this. So I promise I had to show her.
One of the most famous memes of all
time. Brilliant, man.
Amazing.
Brilliant. That was class from you. Great work.
I got one of my mates to make it. Exactly.
I knew it wouldn't be you.
By the way, ChatGPT's.
I know, I don't even do that.
I've seen the Dazzlers on it.
Yeah, he helped. He used it to plan his solo day out to the Fringe today.
And his name, Ride or something as well. Do you hear that one?
Yeah, he's got an alter ego anyway.
By the way, are we getting one of the coins made saying "Beat the Pundit Summer Champion" for me so I can put in my house? Or
nah, that's
Summer Champion. That's the friendly league.
Doesn't count.
A win's a win.
Did you ever play in any of those glamour pre-season tournaments?
I played against Liverpool one
like
game,
the Emirates Cup or whatever.
We beat them 2-0. Oh, was it 1-0? Big Gerard Coutinho. I played left wing again. I played left wing against Glenn Johnson. wasn't it a great day?
Let's play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Craig is in the city centre. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
Good, thanks for asking. Is this your first appearance?
Yep.
I almost ask that out of habit, and I think it also does show how, even though Beat the Pundit's been running every night for well over a decade, I think there's still people phoning for the first time, but then every now and then somebody just surprises me and goes, I've played 7 times or whatever.
0 wins.
So it's good to have Craig on for the first time. Marvin Bartley, when did I say I was going to stop referring to you as the champion?
End of the season, you said.
No, first international break.
Oh,
or
you
something.
Won the main one, didn't you?
Yeah, the proper champ. One.
Respect.
Blue side of the coin for Marvin, red side for Tony Watt. Do you know what I noticed? So Zenith Coins, who provide the Beat the Pundit coins, I noticed today they've started doing Partick Thistle's player of the match.
Yep.
As if the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Partick Thistle crossover couldn't get any stronger.
The one at the start of the season was a weirdest. Seb Drost. I'm on the bench. Marv's on the touchline. Raising the touchline. Mark Wilson's on the touchline. It was a bit too much.
Do you know what they should have done that day? Played the super scoreboard team and the were running out. I'm worried though, because I know you well and I know Alex Ray well, and I think it's, you play each other 4 times, yeah, and 5 if you include the cup. If there's a proper fallout on the touchline, it's going to the disharmony in the camp.
See, Al doesn't shout at anybody other than the referees, so you're all right.
He's on refs all the time.
Straight away.
The whistle. Yeah. And then it's, oh, yeah.
Right, the blue side for Marvin, red side for Tony, and it is blue for Marvin up against Craig. We'll give
Craig
Marvin,
good luck, mate.
Something else.
He's hung up.
He's hung up. Something else to listen to for Marvin. Craig, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, 30 seconds, Craig, on the clock, and your time starts now. New Rangers defender Kostas Nedeljković shares nationality with which other Rangers player?
Dragojevic.
Which team knocked Celtic out of last year's Champions League qualification?
Kaira Almaty.
Who's the current Kilmarnock club captain?
Pass.
This year's or this season's Champions League finals in which country?
Italy.
Which former St Mirren defender joined LASK in the summer?
Pass.
Jan Venegar of Hesselink, John Lundstrom, Andy Robertson, all linked by which club?
Hull City.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us? You ready? Craig's good. You're in bother.
Is he good?
So when is, so you won't have lost on Beat the Pundit since?
Yeah, I feel rusty as well. I think it's the first time I've played.
Did you go out in the lash to celebrate that the other night?
Yeah.
Did you actually?
Nah, I had a pizza and half a beer when I fell asleep. Emotional day.
You looked like you'd had half a beer when you sent me that stupid selfie with your Stenhouse Muir gear on.
Why didn't you reply? I was in the FaceTime you, but I knew you wouldn't pick up.
Two reasons. I would never have replied anyway. I was definitely going to just ignore you. But then see, when I got in, my wife was in Paris for the weekend, right?
Oh,
this
course.
Is her starting to retaliate for me being away at the World Cup for a month.
Right? I'd say you're a busy man.
The two kids. and they were absolutely running rings around me. I will not even tell you what one of them did in the shower, but you can imagine, right? 18-month-old, to be fair, yeah. Another 5-year-old. But I was in a real bad Sunday night, and then your stupid face popped up on my phone. I nearly lobbed it in the bath. Anyway, let's go. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. New Rangers defender Kostas Nedeljković shares nationality with which other Rangers player?
Pass.
Which team knocked Celtic out last year in the Champions
Kermit
League?
Kermit Obati.
Who's Kilmarnock's club captain?
Robbie Deas.
The 2027 Champions League finals in which country?
France.
Which former St Mirren defender joined LASK in the summer?
Frickington.
Van Veniger of Hesselink, John Lundstrom and Andy Robertson are linked by which English side?
Tottenham.
In what year did Derek McInnes win the League Cup with Aberdeen?
2017.
Oh, he was struggling there,
Hull.
Craig.
Hull.
Think you've toppled him?
I'm not sure.
He's not.
I got an extra question.
He was unbeaten the entirety of last season.
No, he's loving it.
Yeah,
they beat the pundit champion. Let's go through them, especially the first one.
It's roasting in here.
Miserable from you.
Yes,
it's roasting in here.
Very warm.
Kostas Nedeljković is Serbian, and so is Vanya Dragojevic. Craig got it. Goes 1-0 up. Deep trouble.
I wasn't the keeper.
Celtic were knocked out by Kaira Almaty. You got that. Who did you say for Kilmarnock's club captain, Craig?
Passed.
Oh, did you? I put him down for the right answer.
Wow. What's going on there? The hatred's real from Sunday.
Don't get carried away, Greg Kilty. Still.
Oh no.
You're trailing by one.
Is it Greg Kilty?
Yeah. The Champions League final is in
Spain.
It's,
by the way, I could have went. Would you give me Dragovic?
Yeah, probably.
I'd have maybe
Estadio Metropolitano. It featured on last night's tiebreaker, by the way, if you're paying attention. Which St Mirren defender joined LASK in the summer? It's Freckleton, equaliser, Marvin Bartley. The Derek McInnes won the League Cup in 2014. You got that wrong, which means it all comes down to the Jan Veniger of Hesselink.
Oh, he's loving
Andy Robertson.
He's loving this.
And
that
John
was so
Lundstrom
bad. Bad.
Are linked by Hull. Yeah. And Craig got it.
Oh, Craig.
Yes.
Craig, well done, mate.
Oh, I've never been happier. I've never been because I would have been buzzing to see you lose on any night, but tonight, of all nights, after what you subjected me to this weekend.
I didn't want to look at your face after the tournament. Yeah, you obviously got
it. I was thinking, oh, yeah, I should have got that.
Craig, well done. You have beaten the
reigning.
What was
the score?
3-2.
I actually thought Robbie Deas was a captain.
No, Greg Kilty was named captain in the summer. Craig, he is
Neil McCann's
the
fault.
Reigning beat the pundit champion. He was unbeaten in the entirety of last season, and you have beaten him. Well done to you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Is this a sign of things to come? As a Rangers fan, is this the first of two big victories you'll get this midweek?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get too far ahead. We've only had one decent performance so far, and there's a lot of ways to go for Rangers.
I know, it's incredible how, like, we swing from kind of one result to the next, don't we? And you can't grudge Rangers. That's a 5-1 win at the weekend. It's cup progression. There's a lot to like about it. But Derek McInnes will know more than anyone of just how much that will be forgotten about entirely if it doesn't go to plan tomorrow night.
Yeah, and that's been the problem, hasn't it? Europe for them, some of the performance within that. Obviously, domestically, they've struggled a bit as well. So, yeah, he understands it. It's game by game at this moment in time. Rangers need to go on a real run. Obviously, the St Mirren one was a fantastic result for them and to put them through to the quarterfinals, obviously, where they drew Celtic. But, yeah, listen, tomorrow night's another huge, huge game for them, and they need to make sure, at the very worst, they're in the Europa League. And the fans, you know, won't even be happy with that, even if they do get there. But at the very least, they need to make sure they get through this tie.
Craig signed the new right back, as we just covered on Beat the Pundit. Either, if you know a bit about him, what do you make of the signing? And if not, in general terms, what about the kind of that area of the team? Is that one you thought you needed an option in? What do you make of the signing?
I hadn't really heard much about beforehand, but when you see the stuff online, that it was at Leipzig for quite a while. He's obviously played at quite a high level. Again, it's one of the kind of signings that it could come in and be absolutely amazing, or you just don't know. But I do think at right back area we are really, really struggling. Obviously, Sterling's been in there, Ross McCrory's been in there, and to be honest, if you're wanting a team that's going to go on and win trophies in Scotland and do well in Europe, I don't think either of them are the answer. So I'm hoping, at the very least, that this new guy's going to going to really take us forward in that area.
What do you make of it? He's 20-year-old Serbian. Craig did quite a good job of giving you his backstory. Aston Villa, been in loan at Leipzig. It's an option with a 4 million obligation if he hits a certain number of appearances.
Well, again, I'll go off Twitter. I think it was Fabrizio Romano, before he got an injury at Leipzig, tweeted that they were going to trigger a £15 million buy clause. So he must be decent, especially Leipzig. It's a top five league. He's been at Aston Villa.
Or but maybe the agents just tell Fabrizio Romano.
Well, that's also a thing, right?
A cynic says.
What I was brought up with was I like how rigid McInnes is and how he gets his players going. I was always brought up with the back four and the goalkeeper don't really change, and I would like to see that at Rangers a little bit more. There's been too much chopping and changing. I think Fernandez probably needs a partner next to him that can help him, because he's still young. He's a good player. He's got every attribute.
I think they've signed one now, though. Derek McKenna speaking today about the priority now really just becomes about the top end of the pitch.
For me, if you go for the new boy at right back, Fernandez, and even this, the lad they got for the MLS, was it a South African lad?
Mm-hmm. Can you?
If you then rotate Penrice and Romans, that's a decent back five. That's not too bad. And then if they can work their way forward, I don't think Rangers are far away. I do agree they need a wee bit of quality in the forward areas, but see, at the start of the season, you're going to have bumps in the road. Rangers haven't been settled for years. They've never been a club for the last 5 to 10 years. They haven't been a club where, like Celtic have been, where they come back in the summer and they just go again and they do well. There's always been kind of ups and downs. I do think that McInnes will get it right. I do think he needs time, and I do think that if they're rejecting big money for Chirmiti, they don't need the money. So see the Europa League thing, the difference between the Europa League and the Conference League would have just been money, to be honest. If they can go to the Conference League, use that to...
It's not that to the fans though, is it? Going to the Conference League, I get it financially for the club, they might say, listen, we're in a good place and we're in a healthy place, but I think, you know, the Conference League is not where Rangers supporters ever want to see football club.
I totally agree with you. I think what Rangers should do is say, right, we're going to use that for our fringe players and we're going to get them minutes in this and we're going to focus on the league. And
you
we're
can
going
never
to try
do that though.
No, you can't. Shouting Rangers, but I do think that Rangers are on the spot right now where they can't expect to go and win the league right now. They can't expect to go and compete in the Europa League right now, because they're in the transition, whether they like it or not. They're still transitioning into being that top side. I don't think they're there yet, but I think McInnes can be the guy to guide them to that.
Craig, how do you feel about the Conference League? Obviously, it's not where anyone wanted to be, but you're there now. You're hoping, if you can obviously do the business tomorrow.
It's quite a strange one, because it almost feels as if, like, if you say you're not that bothered about it, it's almost as if you feel like you're saying you're too good for it.
Yeah.
And I think, realistically, it's a decent opportunity for Rangers, Celtic and the other clubs in Scotland to have a good crack in Europe and go quite far. But having said that, I think that it's been too much of a distraction for us at the same time in the last few seasons. And I just don't think, in terms of the squad that we've got, that we could do both, like go far in Europe and compete at the top end of the table. Realistically, obviously I want Rangers to do well, so I want them to get through, of course I do. But it's just that thing, if something happened and we didn't get through, it would almost be like, alright, we could crack on with domestic duties now.
Yeah, well, listen, it'll be interesting. You can know where Craig's coming from, but just the negativity that would come if it didn't go to plan.
If Rangers don't get through this tie, and rightfully so, by the way, Ibrox will become extremely toxic. Yeah. And it should, because there is no way that they should be going out of the Conference League and having no European football, after August. That is just not acceptable by any stretch of the imagination. And by the way, this is a Rangers team that they'll be well aware of. They've dropped points at home to Hibs. They lose 2-1, and they dropped points against Dundee United as well. So I agree. I think they can definitely get it right in terms of Rangers, but they need to go on a winning run now. It's so, so important that they do that. And if they don't do that, and if, like I said, if they go out of Europe and they go out of the Conference League, you know, it's a long way back for everybody.
Thank you very much to Craig on the line. Enjoy your Beat the Pundit victory.
Whatever, Craig.
If I was you. Here is Derek McInnes speaking about his new signing.
It was a position we had identified at the start of pre-season just to try and bring in. I think with Costas, what you get is that enthusiasm, athleticism to get up and down the pitch, shows good quality, a real eagerness to play the role. When it's somebody so young, there's obviously going to be still areas to improve, but we're looking forward to try to get those improvements with him. But his eagerness to come here was clear, and after speaking to him and him speaking to us, you know, it was something we were always keen to try and do.
There's a kind of shortened version of it. Derek McKinnis spoke also at length today, saying about Dujon Sterling and injuries. He didn't mention Ross McCrory. It might have been a completely accidental oversight. He might just have meant focusing on Sterling because of the injuries. But I just wonder about the three of them in there and how that, you know, because again, sorry, in the clip he said that's something identified right at the start, but the pundits last night were feeling that maybe it was as a reaction to having not been satisfied with what they'd witnessed at right back so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, when all three are fit, it'll be interesting to see who is the number one. I know, you know, players coming on loan, people only think they're going to start, but I would still expect Sterling to be number one. I think, you know, obviously Ross, we've only seen a small sample size of him at Rangers, and you know, he's not been the same player that I saw when he played for Bristol City. But again, he'll be feeling the pressure of coming back to his boyhood club and trying to step up and make the team better. And sometimes, you know, you put too much pressure on yourself and then you can't perform. So, listen, there's definitely competition for places in that area. Having three right backs is a lot. But like we said, we know that Sterling struggles to keep himself fit. Mm-hmm. When he is fit, he's a good quality player. But yeah, I know we said, like, identified from the start, but I think that'd been more of a reaction to what he's seen so far.
Just in terms of profile, I can't imagine a former Aston Villa and Leipzig player or Dujon Sterling or a Scotland international established player. I can't imagine any of those three are like the profile you would expect for a third choice right back at Rangers.
No, but I think at clubs the size of Rangers, you need to accept that if you're not one of the stars, you're going to rotate because they have got so many games this season. McCrory can also play in the eight. He can get up and down. He'd done it when he was a bit younger. I know now he's moved to fullback, but he'd done all right at Aberdeen in the eight. I don't know if he's going to be Rangers' first choice, which isn't a slight on him. He's a good player. I just don't see him being in the starting 11 more often than not. And I'm the same with Sterling. I just think Sterling switches off a bit. I think defensively they needed a right back. They need somebody with a bit more. This guy's not got experience, but he's been at a good level. He's been at Leipzig. And I think what hinders Sterling is the fact that he's not going to play many games on AstroTurf. I don't think at Rangers you can pick and choose. I think you need to be ready as much as you can. But it will be interesting to see what he does. But three's probably too many when all's fit. But the thing is, it
who's got Astro in the Prem now?
Only one.
Three games in a week, Sterling can't do so. That's a problem.
Rab is on the line. How are you, Rab?
I'm fine, Gordon.
Good. What are you thinking?
Just a few things. I'm really enjoying the programme, guys.
Thank you, Rob.
I just to pick up on a few points. I'm a Rangers man, and I'll be honest with you, the only manager for Rangers is Derek McKinnis. You know, we all know it. He's going to do a brilliant job at Rangers. It's just going to take up time. You know, he's changing the whole team. You know, you're talking about a goalkeeper, you're talking about the captain leaving. Oh, but you know, the guy's not a fool. He's a fantastic manager, and he's going to get Rangers back up there. I disagree a wee bit with Marvin talking about, you know, toxicity at Ibrox if Rangers don't do well in Europe. I think we all know what's happening here, that we're changing the whole team, you know, and I don't think there's going to be any toxicity at Ibrox at all.
So you think it'll be fine if Rangers get knocked out of the Conference League at this next step? You think the fans will be happy?
I don't think the fans will be happy, but I think the fans are happy to see what they're doing. You know, Rangers are going back to putting Marvin, they're putting two, you should know as yourselves, a manager, they're putting two good players in each position. And that's what, you know, what Gerrard done to win Rangers the league, you know.
So it's not important to win games when you're putting two players in each position then?
Sorry, I missed
No, I'm saying, is it still not important to win games of football when you're putting two players in each position? Because so far this season, you've dropped points against Dundee United, you've been beaten by Hibs, and now you're saying it's okay to go out of the Conference League.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the Hibs team and other teams are playing. I think Scottish football is fantastic. But what I'm saying is, do you change your, you know, your whole team? Your, you know, you're bringing guys in like that. You know, you're bound to know yourself. It can't be an easy job. You know.
No, definitely.
But I think I think I'm not. Look, I'm not trying to be negative here. But what I'm saying is, I think every Ranger fan knows, proper Ranger fan knows that McInnes is the man for the job. You know, and he's taken by the scruff of the neck. And look at the guys he's bringing in. You know, these guys want to play for the team. Look, when they scored the goals there at the weekend, they were sliding in there saying that's for us. We're playing for Rangers. So I can see the change. You might not see it yourself, but that's fine. I'm a Rangers fan. But I think, to be honest with you, like you say, I think Celtic are doing well in one sense. You know, I think Celtic have had four players in and three players out. I think they're balancing the books very well. And I don't think Rangers are doing quite so well on that side. You know what I mean? I think they've got to get some guys out. But these guys that McInnes is bringing in are for the future. Now, but wouldn't be good enough to be in Champions League or the Europa League, the Conference League. I would rather just use that as like just play that, playing against a good, you know, style, standard of football, and get Rangers back, you know, get the guys playing well and get the confidence up. And to be honest, I think we'll do well. But I definitely disagree with you, Martin. You're saying about toxicity, Ibrox. I don't think that's at all.
If the full time whistle goes tomorrow and Rangers have lost that game at Ibrox, Rab, people will not be as understanding as you are. They just won't be.
No, they might not be, but I think if you listen, maybe some weird guys need to come in and see. They could see what they're bringing in.
Did you hear
they
the boos at the end of the Jagiellonia game?
Pardon?
Did you hear the booing at the end of the Jagiellonia game?
Absolutely, I everybody gets a bit of great things like that. But like I say, if you ask any Rangers man, who's the man to take Rangers forward? It's going to be Derek McInnes, you know? He's your old juxta. He's the last of the managers, the proper managers, right? And I say he's a positive guy. You know, you might need to bat me down and Rangers have gotten beat by Hibs. Hibs are a good side. Why are we all, we've got a cracking league. I said this last year, you know, and I talked to Marvin early on last year about Hearts would go well, and, you know, and listen, it's, why don't we bum up the league a bit, you know what I mean?
I think that's unfair. I think, like, if you're Rangers, you're Celtic or whatever, you set your own standards. You can't expect Hibs to come to Ibrox and win and then people to absolve Rangers from any criticism because we want to say that Hibs are good. That's just not the way it works.
No, it's definitely not the way it works as far as I'm aware. Listen, Rab's obviously his own
man.
By
the way, it was a Hibs team that made how many changes trying to protect their team for all that sort of stuff.
Europe, and that's the thing. And I think Rab's kind of putting two things together. No one's saying that Derek McInnes isn't the right man to take Rangers for, but what I am saying, they need to win games of football, and Derek would be well aware of that. Yeah. How many Rangers, you know, managers have you seen over the last 5 or 6 years? You have to win games.
Sure. Rab, thank you very much. We'll leave it there because we are very late for this break, but we'll take more calls.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Marvin Bartley are here. We're building up to kick off in the East End of Glasgow. Celtic welcoming LASK with a place in the Champions League proper up for grabs. Two legs, of course, the home leg first, then away to Austria next week before we take more calls. And of course we'll go back to Celtic Park as well. Let me give you this question.
The full time teaser with Arcoplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to Brian and Denniston for sending it in. We've tweaked his question a bit to make it even harder for you two, but good inspiration from Brian. Can you name the last five British or Irish players to score a Champions League or Europa League playoff goal for Celtic? So in the Champions League or Europa League playoff round, there are five. They're looking for the last five. Can be Scottish, English, Irish, Welsh, etc.
James Forrest.
Obviously. Well done, James Forrest.
Was on the bench that night.
Against?
Wild Scenes, Shakhtar Karagandy.
He did it again after that.
Did he?
Yeah. So in the last six.
That shows you how much I know.
Callum McGregor?
Yeah. Easy one to kick you off. Easy two answers. Well done to Brian and Denison for sending it in. And thank you very much to the sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow as well. Like I said, what are we, just under half an hour away from kickoff at Celtic Park. So we'll keep an eye on the build up to that one. In fact, let's just quickly go back there. We'll go again before kickoff. But Andrew McLean, there's an interested observer in the stands at Celtic Park tonight.
Yeah, there certainly is. Sebastian Pocognoli, the new Scotland manager who was unveiled earlier on this week. He spoke to the press on Monday, and this is really his first official business out and about. He, of course, you know, is Belgian, so probably a good idea for him to get himself out and about, immerse himself in the Scottish football culture. Not that there's a whole host of Scottish players that will be watching in this Celtic team tonight. Kieran Tierney, the obvious one. He's been a, you know, a massive part of what Steve Clarke did over the past few years, and Scotland making it to three major tournaments. Only two other Scottish players starting for Celtic tonight. Colby Donovan, who's maybe still a bit away from consideration for the senior national team, and Callum McGregor, who of course is retired from international duty, so I'm sure he's here to take a look at Kieran Tierney, but maybe a bit more about just getting himself used to the Scottish culture and Scottish football and really dive head first into it.
Just a night out, is it, rather than a scouting mission? What do you think, you two?
Yep.
He's heard about the European nights there, hasn't he? He's like, oh, take that
as well. He's still in Glasgow tonight.
1,000%.
Just check in on Kieran Tierney, see if there's anything else doing.
I wangled a couple of tickets to Anderlecht when I was over there in the Champions League, and I went to the first two games. It was, one was Olympiacos, one was Benfica, and the next game was PSG, and I got a sickness bug. I think Zlatan scored 3 or 4 that night. Missed it, couldn't get out of my bed. I was absolutely devastated. It was the old posh section. You get your main course, your desserts, everything. You go up, glass seats, big padded seats, and I missed out on Zlatan, man.
Let's clutch ever so slightly though, right? Is it too much of a... Kieran Tierney obviously will be in the next squad if he's fit and raring to go. Colby Donovan starting tonight for Celtic, and Anthony Ralston is not. And Anthony Ralston went to the World Cup. Colby Donovan's younger. Could there be scope? It's not an area that we end up being blessed in because of Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson's injury history.
Yeah, I think you're definitely there to look at him. I'm very interested to see how his first squad looks. I almost remember Wales when they hit that kind of reset button after changing manager, and they just went with a real young group of players with only a couple of senior ones and said, right, let's build from here. And Donovan fits into that, doesn't he? He really, really does. Like you said, you know, Ralston's been in a lot of squads. Steve Clarke said many times before he likes, you know, familiarity and players who've been around it and stuff before. So yeah, listen, from a manager's point of view, you're seeing both your fullbacks, or two full possible fullbacks, that could go on to play for Scotland and be called up to the next squad.
Look at him, he's itching to suggest that James Forrest. Maybe a recall for James Forrest.
I think we should be playing with wingers, and I think we're light on the wing. I'd get James Forrest and Finlay Curtis in.
Finlay Curtis was in. Went into the World Cup, came on.
You put James Forrest in the Scotland squad, seriously?
Yeah, both play essentials athletes, Finlay.
On the biggest stage.
I think James, he's past that. I think Cal McGregor's past that. But I think this is the ideal night for Colby Donovan. And I never slaughtered him when I said he's a drop-off for Alistair Johnson.
Do you know what? I don't want to steal the thunder, because I actually think, I'm looking at the screen, I think Robbie's point in Cumbernauld might be along those lines, Robbie. Good timing.
Hello, lads. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, speaking about Colby Donovan, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Since he came into the team, I've thought he's looked a good talent. I really disagree with a lot of the kind of attitude about him with the Celtic fans, and I think this is going to be a chance. And actually, I think as it stands, with Ralston being like the only other option, that you can't really drop a guy like young Colby.
Do you think he gets too much criticism, or in a roundabout way, is it just, does it come from real praise for Alistair Johnson? Because are people not just trying to say that they think he's really, really top? And then if you talk about there being a drop off, that can be seen as being disrespectful to Colby Donovan. But in many ways, maybe they're just talking about how good Johnston is. Robbie?
Border. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, we've got you now, sorry.
Hello, yeah.
Oh, Robbie's line's not great. We'll try and get that cleared up.
You said no.
See what I mean, though? Like the
biggest compliment I can pay Alistair Johnson, and it backs your point up, if I was to go into Celtic, that starting 11 at the first game of the season, and pick one player that could go and do it in the Premiership, it wouldn't be Carter Vickers, and it probably wouldn't be Negrin. They would get the honourable mention. For me, it's Alistair Johnson. He could slot into a Premiership team at right back. He's strong, fast, good in the ball, good in the final third. He can defend, he switches on, he can concentrate, and he can do the dirty side of the game, plus looking like a good player. For me, if I was a Premiership manager, he'd be the first one I'd take and the most suited to the Premiership game. That's why I think it's not an insult to young Donovan, it's not an insult to Ralston, it just shows you how highly rated Johnston is and how much Celtic miss him when he doesn't play.
Robbie, I think we've got you back. Signal dodgy in Cumbernauld, is it?
I'm actually in Celtic Park.
In the stadium?
To the staircase, yeah.
Sounds a bit quiet, Robbie.
I don't know, I found it in a corner.
Atmosphere building, is it? Ah, well, we can't take calls inside. Big concrete stadium, but 40,000-50,000 fans at this stage.
Just put a headpiece on signals not working.
It was good to hear. And do you know what? It's nice to know that we're at the forefront of the minds.
Exactly.
And people are in there in Celtic Park. But yeah, Marvin, you can definitely spin that both ways. If you think, like Tony, that Alistair Johnston is like a really, really top level, like is sort of as good a right back as Celtic could get, mm-hmm. then his deputy's probably not going to be nearly at that level, if that makes sense. Like, what are the chances that you could carry two fullbacks? And I know people might say that they liked Sarachi versus Tierney last year and that sort of thing, but
yeah, and you had Tierney and Greg Taylor, didn't you? But that's why Taylor left, because he wanted to be number one. Yeah, it's really difficult, Gordon, to have, you know, two players of that standard. Like you said, Alistair Johnston's gone from strength to strength. He had a brilliant World Cup as well, and unfortunately now he's injured. But I really do like Donovan. I do. And I think it's, you know, it's sometimes fans will look at players and they'll get like an odd game here or there and expect them to be at their best. He needs to run a game for his own confidence, for his own belief. I think he's got all the attributes. Tony spoke about Alistair Johnston, the attributes that he has. He's 28 years of age now. Kobe's just a young man coming into the game. I think that right back berth is one that, you know, Celtic, if you're talking about, you know, developing younger players, where he could get a good run at it. And I think he's got the qualities and the ability to definitely hold his own for Celtic. Be interested to see how he does tonight. Again, like you said, it's a never step up for him, but definitely domestically, in terms of playing that position, I think he'd be just fine in there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Robbie from Cumbernauld, but in Celtic Park. So we'll keep an eye on. Maybe get Robbie to do the halftime report if Andrew McLean wants to take the rest of the night off. How are you two faring on this teaser? Brian and Dennison sent it in, so it doesn't include own goals. Can you name the last five British or Irish players to score a Champions League or Europa League playoff goal for Celtic? You've got Forrest and McGregor.
How far back are we going?
I'm not telling you.
No. Adam Ida?
Nope, not in the playoff round.
Tony Stokes?
Nope.
Okay. Am I just going to name every English?
Greg Taylor?
Nope.
Tierney?
No. We'll give you some thinking time and we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means kickoff at Celtic Park is fast approaching. We'll go back there, get a flavour of the atmosphere and the build-up with Andrew McLean, and bring us anything else we need to know before that game kicks off. Hold your horses. Whoever's got a bit excited and give me the dramatic music. I was going to do it a bit closer to kick off. Let me revisit the teaser for you two first. You've got Brian and Dennison's question, who wants you to name the last five British or Irish players to score a Champions League or Europa League playoff round goal for Celtic. So that's quite specific, because it can be quite hard to distinguish between the third round or the playoffs. But that's what you've been asked to do. James Forrest and Callum McGregor.
Scott Brown?
Nope.
Chris Commons?
No.
Liam Scales?
Nope.
Is there another Irish player?
There is one more, I would say, semi-obvious Scotsman that you've missed. And then the other two are tricky for different reasons.
Johnny Kenny?
No. So what about Scotsman?
Lee Griffiths?
Yes, there you go.
I'll carry you, big man.
Nice.
It's your team, man.
The two remaining ones, I think they'll keep you occupied.
I'll tell you what, I won't be carrying you. With your arms, man.
The first three kept us occupied, man.
Maybe one we can revisit tomorrow, because tomorrow will be more about building up to the Rangers game as well as reflecting on this. But let's just quickly hear a bit more, because it was today Derek McInnes talking about Lawrence Shankland. There's been a lot of commentary, of course, because he was the club captain, but he's not necessarily starting all the games. This is what the manager had to say today.
I spoke to Lawrence just because the captain doesn't guarantee anything. He accepted that. You know, he's not a daft boy. He's not going to start stamping his feet and saying this and that. You know, it's, you know, having the benefit of working with Lawrence previously, he's a brilliant captain, absolutely brilliant captain, a brilliant boy, and he's got a lot to offer. I never took worry too much about that, especially with somebody like Lawrence, because he's too good not to get scoring on a regular basis, you know, and he's consistently shown over a period of time in the Premier League 20 odd goals return every season at Hearts. And I think people can over emphasise these sort of things, and sometimes For me, it's just a case of just let the boy be and just let him play his natural game.
I remember when the debate about the captaincy was here, people did ask the question of, you know, should it be someone who's guaranteed a start, whatever that means. But, you know, some players are a bit more than others. What do you make of the way it's played out so far and what Derek McInnes had to say?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense in terms of what he's saying. You know, Lawrence Shankland, he's captain, they had him at Hearts and he's given a captaincy at Rangers, knowing full well, obviously before Schmidt even gets injured, that he's not going to start every single game. But what he does know is in training how high standards are. When he is on the pitch, you know, he'll lead by example. When he's on the sidelines, he'll be cheering his teammates on. And people say, oh, that's all things that should happen. But Tony will tell you, both been in dressing rooms, they're players that aren't like that at all. So those players are worth their weight in gold, outside of the goals that, you know, domestically, Dell knows that he'll score for the football club. So, yeah, listen, I don't think there was a candidate for Rangers to name as captain that's going to say, right, they're going to start every single game. I think I said about Dan Neil maybe being the captain because he's been captain before. He's not playing games of football, Gordon. So it was always going to be one of them that the captain's going to be in and out of the team. Ultimately, you know, Dell's going to play the best 11 week in, week out. And Lawrence Shankland knows if he's on top of his game, then he'll be playing games and he's captain. If he's not, he'll be on the bench and he'll contribute, you know, coming off of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think Shankland will score goals for Rangers. I don't think he expects to start every game. I don't think at Rangers you can expect to start every game.
What's the makeup of that strike force going to be then if everybody said that based on the small sample size, the weekend was the best and it came with one in Ryan Nadiri? And
I don't think Nadiri's going to be Rangers number nine. I think if anything...
Can Lauren Shankland do
that
role? Yes,
I think so. I think they can get him... Well, you look at the profiles in the past for Celtic and Rangers, they're all different, and the ones that succeed, there's not really been the same two strikers. If you look at Maeda, Kyogo, Edward and Dembele and Griffiths, for instance, they're all different players. You don't need to, it's not a one size fits all to be at a top club. Shankland is an absolutely fantastic finisher. His all-round play is brilliant in terms of link-up, and see if Rangers dominate games, you're better off with somebody that can hold the ball and bring your team into play. I just feel like the first couple of weeks, there's going to be pressure on all of them. I think the longer it goes, Shankland will get you double figures and his overall play will bring other players in. He got Braga, not single-handedly, but he helped Braga get player of the year last year. He definitely made
his game
better.
You don't think Braga helped Shankland, though, in terms of being able to run in behind?
I totally agree.
And if Rangers don't have that, that's my worry about him being the main number nine. They're going to need willing runners going the other way.
They do, and I think McInnes has said that. We don't have pace. That's what he keeps saying. We don't have pace at the front end because he knows that Shankland's not going to give you that. And if he's coming deep, Braga, Kizaridis, these guys ran off the back and caused a lot of problems. Now, Shankland, if there's not going to be any runners, don't play him. There's no point in playing him. And I think they will get runners and I think he will be Rangers number nine this year.
Okay, let's leave it there for now because we need to focus on the game at Celtic Park. We can get back to the others tomorrow. Looking forward to building up for Motherwell, Hearts and Hibs as well. But let's go back to Celtic Park and have Andrew McLean remind us of the teams and a flavour of what's at stake.
Yeah, the Champions League flag is in the centre circle. We're not far away from hearing the Champions League anthem ring around Celtic Park, and Celtic fans will be hoping that it's the first of many Champions League nights here this season. They were starved of it last campaign after that defeat to Qairat Almaty in this round of the competition. But can Martin O'Neill lead this team into the league phase armed with four new signings that he's got so far, and three of those are in from the start tonight? Those additions have added some positivity to the Celtic support, but I'm sure there's still going to be a bit of anxiety from some fans just based on their qualifying record in the Champions League, and maybe some discontent that Arne Engels was allowed to leave before a direct replacement was brought in. Last goal with full of confidence there. Fans have been in full voice over to my right so far. They're the reigning Austrian champions, three wins from three in the league for them so far this campaign, and they've scored 9 goals along the way, so they'll be feeling good about themselves coming to Celtic Park. As for that Celtic team, it's three changes from the win against Dundee United at the weekend. Liam Scales, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Sebastian Tenekte drop out. Of course, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain suspended, a historic suspension he's got from his time at Besiktas. In come Kieran Tierney, Yang and Micah Bauer, the 22-year-old only signed from Paderborn last week. He came off the bench against Dundee United at the weekend. Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham have seen enough that he is ready to come in straight from the start and make an impact. Of course, with the absence of Arne Engels, who moved on Saturday night to West Ham for £22 million. So Bouyamy Sinisalo
in goal for Celtic tonight. The back four, Kobe Donovan, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Kieran Tierney. It's in Callum McGregor, Mika Bauer and Benjamin Negrin in midfield with Yang and Camilla Duran either side of Casper Hu. Of course, Casper Hu and Camilla Duran, plenty of Champions League goals between them last season. They'll be hoping that they can do it in the hoops this season. The substitutes doing Scales, Balakwisha, McCowan, Tenekti, Osmond, Hassan, Kenny, Hatate, Murray, Forrest and Ralston. The man to look out for last glimpse is Samuel Adeniran. It looks like they'll play a back three, a 3-5-2, but he is the man for goals. Five goals so far this season. He's in good form and he'll be looking to continue that tonight.
Yeah, had a good campaign last season as well. He's picked up where he left off. Andrew McLean mentioned Sebastian Pocognoli, the new Scotland manager's in. Is it a full house, Andrew? Got a big Champions League feel about it?
Yeah, there were a few that were late in. I don't know whether that was to do with the weather or not, but just looking around Celtic Park now, you'll never walk alone, blasting through the tannoys, and the scarves are up, so this looks to be pretty much a sellout, you'd think. At Celtic Park, you look over to that North Curve corner as well, which houses the Green Brigade but now houses the Boys as well, which is another Celtic fan group that used to be in the opposite corner. They've grouped together, so that is now a bigger sort of ultra section they have over there. It looks as if there's going to be some sort of tifo. All I can see now is waves that they've put up at the moment. You'd imagine there's some slogan that's going to be put up there, but there'll be a huge cheer going around Celtic Park once this rendition of You'll Never Walk Alone finishes and the teams make their way out the tunnel.
Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. Prediction from you two: Celtic going to get the job done?
3-1.
2-1. I'm going 2-1.
Okay. Well, it's going to be tense next week then.
It's going to be tense.
I think they'll concede, but I think they will blow them away.
Okay. Right, let's finish off with that teaser then before we get this game up and running. Whatever happens tonight, we will reflect on it tomorrow. Brian and Dennison's asked you if you can name the last five British or Irish players to score a Champions League or Europa League playoff goal for Celtic. You've got Forrest, Griffiths, McGregor.
Did we say Hooper?
Nope, you shouldn't either. Don't waste my time.
Is it not going that far back? Oh. Paddy Roberts?
Right, I need to give you clues. One is a Scot, but just a very kind of short, fleeting Celtic career. Didn't really start loads of games. No, but similar era. Over in the MLS thereafter.
Lewis Morgan.
Ooh, and a bit sneaky with the wording, because what do we always say? It's football nationality. Who was born here?
McGeady?
No, but same path.
Mikey Johnston.
All right, let's leave it there. You two have gone for a 3-1 and a 2-1 win for Celtic. Let's hope you are correct in terms of the old Scottish coefficient and all that sort of stuff. Do you fancy them to go through, by the way? Because you've gone 2-1 tonight. That's a bit hedging your...
No, I fancy them to go through. Can I just say something before the show ends? The amount of messages I got after getting beat on Beat the Pundit. And see last season when I won all those games? Not a message from these people.
Typical, isn't it?
Poor. You sound surprised. That's life
Poor.
These
Brian
days.
Brian Rice. Scott Allen.
Nice.
Andy McKenzie. Chipper. I meant to be seeing Chipper tomorrow as well. I don't think
Chipper's
I'll turn up.
Hero, isn't
he? No, I don't say that.
I wish you nothing but misery this weekend. Yeah.
Cheers, bestie.
That's the last thing I'll say on the matter. Well done to Stenhouse Muir through gritted teeth. Right, big night in the Champions League. Huge night in the other competitions tomorrow. So let's see if we can get a successful couple of days for Scottish clubs. Whatever happens tonight, we will look back on it tomorrow. We'll then build up to the other games. It is going to be an unmissable midweek. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we're back at 6 tomorrow.